Hello, this is Steve with Iman's Christendom, and this is my homemade solar generator. And I'm going to show you what all is involved in building this. So, it's been raining. As you can tell, it's cloudy out. I'm not actually charging it or anything like that. But I had mentioned that I had built this last year, and some people said that they wanted me to do a video to show how I did it. I will say, not to go strictly off of my video, because I may miss some things that are crucial. Once I do this, it's going to look easy. But if I miss something that's crucial, it could be a problem and it could even be dangerous. So I will put links in the description of some of the videos that I watched to make this. So watch some of those too, and even do some more of your own research. Speaking of links in the description, my book Until the Last Penny is available as an ebook on Amazon. The paperback should be out later this week. I know I've already said that, but I went ahead and approved it, so it should be out. So you can go ahead and get your copy today with the ebook, or you can wait till the paperback comes out next week. But the link for that, the link to Amazon, is in the description. If you like what you see and you're not already a subscriber, you can go ahead and subscribe. Follow me on Facebook, BitChute, Rumble, Substack, and all those things. You can also, if you want to support this channel, you can do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link for that is also in the description. Now, I made this generator for about $600. An equivalent store-bought one that you could buy, like a Jackery or a Blue Eddy, would be around $1,000 to $1,200. This will not run your entire house if the power goes out, but neither will those units either. This is so that you can have some essential appliances going. You can run your refrigerator, you can run some lights, you can charge your stuff. There are four basic components. You have the battery, which is right here. You have the inverter, and you have the solar charge controller and the solar panels. Whenever you're hooking all of this stuff up, you need to make sure that you connect positive to positive, negative to negative. So, and typically red is positive, black is negative. So as you can see in my inverter, I've already got them hooked up, but yeah, there's the red, that's the positive, and it's going to the positive terminal on the battery. The negative is going to the negative terminal of the battery. And if we can see this, I don't know if you can or not, on the solar charge controller, you can see there's two sides to it. You have this side right here, that connects the solar panel, and that connects the battery. Red for positive, you follow those around, and you would connect the red to the red of there, which that's a kill switch, and I definitely suggest you get one of these. You turn it off, connect them up, turn it on, start charging. When you're done, you turn it off, and then you unplug. See, they plug in like this, like that. See, but you want to make sure that that's off when you're plugging it in, plugging it off. Otherwise, you could get shocked at best. And then the battery side, for whatever reason, they're both black, but you have a positive, and on the battery side, there's a positive and a negative. This is going to the positive side here. Then the negative side is going to the negative side. So, always make sure that you're connecting things together, positive to positive, negative to negative. On the positive side, you're going to need fuses. I used Marine RBF fuses. This is a 200 amp fuse for the inverter, a 40 amp fuse for the solar charge controller. It is also recommended that you have a kill switch in between the inverter and the battery. I did not have that. I kind of got one because mine comes with this remote that you can turn it on and turn it off. So I just kind of didn't really feel like I needed to do that. So the first thing we're going to look at is the inverter. This converts DC power from the battery, so you're going to get DC power from the battery. It converts that into AC or house power so that you can run your appliances. And you simply plug stuff in. As you can see, there's plug-ins there, and there's also a USB plug-in. But you just like plug your refrigerator in, plug whatever, your lights, whatever. And when you turn it on, it's powered by the battery, obviously. Your inverter is going to come with a max wattage run as well as surge. So in this case, this is a 2,000 watt inverter. So it can run 2,000 watts continuously. It can run up to 4,000 watts surge. So when we plug things in, it takes a surge of electricity to get it going, and then it settles down. And so what that's saying is that it can handle up to 4,000 watts for that surge, but then when we're going to run things for hours and hours and hours, we can do up to 2,000 watts with that inverter. For building a system like this, anything less than a 1,000 watt inverter is pretty much not practical. I mean, you're basically going to be able to charge your cell phone, maybe your laptop, so that's about it. You're not going to run your fridge or anything like that. Inverters will come either with a pure sine wave or a modified sine wave. There's also another one that you don't even want to think about, but mine is a pure sine wave inverter. And what that means is it's just, if you think about it, it's clean power. A pure sine wave is clean power. A modified sine wave is dirty power. A modified sine wave inverter is going to be cheaper, but it's really not good for electronics. It will damage them over time. It's okay to use them for anything that's got a motor, like power tools and stuff like that. But when you're talking about running laptops, or you know, laptops or anything like that, you really don't want that. So my suggestion is not that much more to just go ahead and get a pure sine wave inverter. Next is the battery. You want to make sure, first of all, you want to make sure that your cables are thick enough between your inverter and your battery. And I'm going to tell you right now that the cables that come with your inverter are not going to be thick enough. There's a chart online that you'll need to look at. But for this, for a 2,000 watt inverter, the size you want is called 2-aught or 0-0. But it's probably going to come with 2-gauge. That's really not big enough. So you want to definitely make sure you get big enough cables. Just look at that chart. If I can find it, I'll put it in the link, or I'll put a link in the description, but I'm not promising anything. You may have to do a little bit of your own research on this. You want to make sure that you match up the voltage, okay? So this is a 12 volt inverter. That means I need a 12 volt battery. You don't want to take a 24 volt inverter and hook it up to a 12 volt battery, or a 12 volt inverter and hook it up to a 24 or 48 volt battery. That's not going to work. You have to match them up. Batteries, you can get, what I have is a lithium phosphate, iron phosphate battery, or LiFePO4 battery. Okay, it's a lithium battery. You can also get a lead acid battery. Lead acid battery is going to be a little bit cheaper, but it's going to require maintenance. They're a lot heavier, so they are, as far as portability goes, it's not that great. And they don't last as long. And another thing, too, if you do go lead acid, you can't use a car battery, because car batteries are designed to give a huge charge up front, but they're not really designed to deep charge them. In other words, to deep drain them, because the alternator keeps it charged. If you're going to go lead acid, you're going to have to get a marine battery or a deep cycle battery. Even then, you're not going to be able to discharge it nearly as low as a lithium battery. And it's not going to be able to take as many deep charges. So a lithium battery will take up to 10,000 deep charges, and you're looking at 300 to 500 on a lead acid. So they're a little more expensive, but I would say get a lithium iron phosphate battery myself. So not only do you have to match the voltage on the battery in the inverter, you also have to match the amperage, the amp hours. So if you'll see on this one, it's a 12 volt, 140 amp hour battery. And what that means is if I were to run 140 amps all at once, this battery will be drained in an hour if it's fully charged. But that's also a limitation. You can't run 5,000 watts out of a 100 amp hour battery, for example. It will catch fire. So to find out the max wattage for a battery, there is a formula, and it's volts times amps equals watts. Now, I'm not going to use, as the example, I'm not going to use the confusing 140 amp. That's an odd battery, I know it. Probably the most popular battery is the 12.8 volt 100 amp hour battery. So if we take that formula and take 12.8 times 100, that means that the most that we can get out of that battery at once in an inverter is 1280 watts. So we're not going to be able to, so if you if I had a 12.8 volt 100 amp hour battery, I would not be able to get the full 2000 watts out of that. But if, and if you take into account efficiency, really for a 12.8 volt 100 amp hour battery, your max inverter is the 1000 watt inverter, which is about as low as you want to go. I could go ahead and buy a 2000 watt inverter and one 12.8 volt battery, 100 amp hour battery, and just realize that I can't get the full charge out of that, but then later buy another 12.8 volt 100 amp hour battery and hook them together, again, positive to positive, negative to negative, and that is the same as one 12.8 200 amp hour battery, and now I can get the full 2000 watts out of it. Does that make sense? Not that you can answer me. But just going by my system, this 12.8 140 amp hour system, if we were to take that formula, 12.8 times 140 is 1792 watts. However, the battery management system in this battery is 150 BMS. So my battery, in spite of the fact that it's only 140 amp hour battery, that only goes for the time, it actually can run 150 amps at once. So if I take that into consideration, I take 12.8 times 150, then I get 1920, which is why I set it up this way, because I can almost get the full 2000 watts out of that inverter. But when we figure in efficiency, you're really looking at about 1800 watts. If you have an inverter you want to buy, how do you find out how big of a battery you need? Well, there's another formula for that. It's watts divided by volts equals amps. So let's take the 2000 watt inverter divided by 12.8, and so I would need at least 156 amp hours. So realistically, either this battery or a 200 amp hour battery for a 2000 watt inverter. If you are, it's crucial that you get a battery monitoring system. So there's something that, again, on the positive side, it's kind of looks maybe like that or something like that, and it'll tell you how much amps you're using at one time or whatever. I don't have that. What I have, my battery comes with a Bluetooth app, so I downloaded the Bluetooth app and connected it to my battery, and that tells me at any given time how many amps I'm using, how many watts I'm using, and all that stuff, so I can monitor it, make sure I don't go over for too long. I mean, you can go over whatever the limit is. It's just that you can't go for a long time with it over. The lithium iron phosphate batteries have BMSs, which is the battery management system, and it will shut it down before it allows it to catch fire or anything like that. But you're depending on the BMS, so that's why you really want to monitor it. Okay. So let's talk about the solar charge controller and the solar panels. So this system, which is a 2,000 watt, 1,800 watt hour, basically two 100 watt solar panels, those are both 100 watt solar panels, that is a basic system that if you were to get a store-bought unit, like if you were to buy a Jackery or Blue Eddy with the same specs, and it's going to cost you $800, $900 to $1,200. I built this one for $600. But, you know, some people might think it's too complicated. They may think it looks too ghetto and you want to go buy your other one. That's fine. But if you're like me and you like a challenge, then, you know, I liked saving the money, quite frankly. Now, connecting, so let's go over, I think I already did, connecting the solar charge controller to the battery. These are the connections for the batteries, and that's the connection to the solar panels. Again, you would definitely want to get the kill switch. And again, like today, it's too, there's going to be too many days like today. If we have this system, and I have two 100-watt solar panels, and I'm trying to charge that battery, and it's almost discharged completely, and I have the perfect conditions outside, it's sunny, there's no clouds, it's in the middle of summer, that's going to take me all day. Okay, this is a slow system. It's slow charging these things with solar. You can get a wall charger, but if you're going to do that, you need to make sure that if you get a lithium iron phosphate battery, you get a lithium iron phosphate charger. If you get a lead acid battery, you get a lead acid charger. The one that I have, it would take about 10 hours to charge the whole thing. As far as the solar panels are concerned, the way I bought this system last year is I bought the battery. That cost me about $180. I bought the inverter. That cost me about $120. I bought those. I looked online to see how thick of cables I needed, and it was, 2-aught. I bought those. I went ahead and bought this. I don't know if you can see it, but this is just a little stand that hooks to the positive side of the battery, and then it's got two posts, one for this fuse and one for this fuse. Bought these two fuses in that post there. I don't know. They cost me maybe $30 or $40. Then I bought a solar kit that came with the solar charge controller. And these two and the connection. It came with the solar charge controller and the solar panels and the connections for them. The only other thing I had to buy separate was that kill switch. And all of that together cost me right around $600. So, and then I just put this together. So I had it in a different box, but I think my wife paid maybe $10 for this. It does have wheels, so it is portable. And then I just put the lid on. The way I do it is I have the lid on, take it where I need to go, pop the lid up, start plugging stuff in there. Turn it on, see? Then turn it on and then watch it all go. So that's it. That is my ghetto self-made portable solar generator. I forgot to say that the solar kit that came with the solar charge controller, the solar panels, and the wires to connect everything was about $150. Also, I bought all of these on Prime Days last year in June, so everything was actually marked down. And Prime Days this year is in a couple weeks. I'm not sponsored by Amazon or anything like that. I'm just letting you know. I think the solar kit is usually around $200. It was $150. The inverter was usually $150. It was down to $120. That battery was usually almost $300, and it was down to $180. Also, if you want a smaller system, it will save you more money. You could go with a 12.8 100 amp hour LiFePO battery and a 1,000 or 1,500 watt inverter. I built one for my son without the solar kit, just the inverter and the battery, and it was less than $300. And then you could get a wall charger for about $30 just to start off with, and then build to solar, later on down the road or whatever. And don't forget to get your copy of Until the Last Penny. The link is in the description. Till my next video, God bless.